Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
I want to go into the Word today. I'm going to just use one verse of Scripture to get us jumped in here, and that is in the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. Chapter 17, verse number 11. I want to preach to you on the subject today. The blood has a memory. Life is in the blood. And the verse says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Father, I pray that you bless the reading of your word. Grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective in the name of Jesus. And we'll be careful to give you praise, to give you glory, and to give you honor in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, I believe that I just got word that the U version might say James 4:14, but it is not. It is Leviticus chapter 17, verse number 11. Amen. So let's get into the word today. Life is in the blood. That we have moved in our lifetime and in our lifespan from an agricultural community to the industrial age, and we are now in the technological age. From those eras, our thought processes and patterns began to change. Some good, but others bad. Others, matter of fact, were terrible. You know, in 1968, Congress, which that gives you trouble, put out a report that by the time 1985 came around, because of technology, that the problem would be is what people would do with their extra time because of technology. Well, go 2020 and we have more technology than I know what to do with, and we are still out of time because we fill it up with so much other stuff. But somewhere along the line of moving from the agricultural community to industrial age to now the technological age is we moved into the modern world, and I can access more information on my phone and iPad than I ever could in books, because there are so many books on my iPad and on my own iPhone. And it used to be the mark of a great minister with how many books he had in his library. Well, I've got more books on my iPad and on my iPhone than I do in my office shelves and combined with my house shelves of books, because that's where we are in this day and age. But we moved in my lifetime, into what we called the modern world. And we use data and bytes, a language that my dad did not or would not understand. I bought my dad a VCR many years ago, almost 15 years ago, and bought him a DVD player, and then bought him a DVD. I had it hooked up, and one day I came and said, "Hey, Dad, let's watch this DVD." He said, "I don't have one of those." And I go, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do, Dad. It's right there, plugged up. I plugged it in for you. There it is. That's what that's called." So he was not technological, but that's where we are. But when we transitioned from the modern thought to postmodern thought, something was lost in transition. Something was lost. Now, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to get you upset, so don't send me any emails. If you decide to send them to Pastor Justin. No, I'm just kidding. Pastor Justin at Crystal River CRCOG or Crystal River COG. But something was lost. And some of the things of what we was lost brings us to point number one, what do you value? Some of the things that we lost from modern to postmodern was the things in which we value. Modern and postmodern thought moved from facts to feelings. That it doesn't matter now what the facts say, all we really want to talk about is our feelings. I'm so sick of feelings. I love good feelings, but I don't like bad feelings. And everybody wants to talk about their feelings and not the facts. We used to examine the facts and then believe it, but now we have facts. But if we don't feel it, we still don't believe it. Because we think our feelings make it real. That is not. No, that's not the truth. You got to look at the facts. We moved into you believe how you want to and I will believe how I want to and we can all just get along. Now we have a generation that values feelings over fact. There is a person, and I won't call their name one because I don't remember it, but there is a person who is disabled because they cannot work because they feel bad around people. I don't know if you can see my eyes. Oh, Jesus. I feel bad around you, that person. But that's what we've come to. That it's all about what I feel. In that process of time, we begin to lose something that we don't talk about anymore, which is called absolute truth. And now all truth is based on feeling. Absolute truth, sometimes called a universal truth, is an unalterable and permanent fact. It doesn't change. But when you lose absolute truth, you lose something that is bigger than you that you can anchor to. And that's why some people are walking around with all of these issues and all of these dilemmas because they don't have anything to anchor them to, that when the storm comes, that they hold on to that unalterable fact or that permanent principle that is in place. Many are declaring, and we have these celebrities who are preaching, as long as you meditate or as long as you have some kind of reflection, you're okay. Many are declaring that many roads lead to heaven. Many are declaring that there are many roads to heaven. Philosophy. Some people say absolute truth is too old-fashioned. Let me say this to you and let me be clear that I still believe that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary. I still believe in a literal cross. I still believe that Jesus went into the bowels of hell and had a revival and brought out the key of death, hell in the grave. That same Jesus was resurrected on the third day and gave salvation to you and to me. And let me tell you that I still believe that the only way to heaven is not through some trance or some kind of chant, but it is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And without the blood of Christ, you are bound for hell. But because of the blood of Jesus, you are bound for heaven. Hallelujah to God. I still believe that. Spirituality has to do more than a meditative state of mind and good teachings. We cannot think that sitting in your Zen garden, looking at plants, getting inside yourself will open the door to heaven or close the gates of hell. Matter of fact, if I look inside myself, my Bible says that there's not good, much good in me. But when I look inside myself and I see the blood of Jesus, I know that I've been redeemed, I've been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of Jesus. We must not believe and accept that if everybody believes in the same God, we are all okay in the end. No, no, no. You can't accept that because just the devil believes in God. We've got to do more than believe in God. We have to accept his son. See, listen, understand this. That religion is simply a system of thinking. So you atheists who hate religion, you have a religion. It's called atheism. Those of you who feel like, well, I'm agnostic, you have a religion because it's a system of thinking. You see, vehicles of ceremonies that helps you understand truth. It's important, but not more important than knowing the truth. You got to know the truth. The truth is only the blood of Jesus can give you eternal life. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. Understand, it is the blood of Jesus that separates everything from everything else, even if it's spiritual. It doesn't matter. Now, point number two is this. Leviticus 17:11 is essential to your life and theology as a Christian. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That is what makes you alive. I have given it to you, the Bible says, upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. The only way to get this blood is at the altar of God. Not in your Zen garden, not in your vegetable garden, not out in the wilderness saying I'm communing with God in the wilderness. No, not out on the boat. No, I'm sorry. Not at the beach, not in the mountains. No, baby. You've got to be at the altar of God, wherever that might be for you right now. You can make it an altar, but you've got to at some point in time come to the altar of Jesus Christ where he shed his blood and say, I receive that blood. I accept that blood as full payment of my sin. You can't get there if it's left on the altar. You can't buy it. You can't manipulate it. You can't earn it. You must come to the altar of God. Matter of fact, it is not inherited by your mama or your daddy. You cannot get it just called mom and daddy. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, I know that there are many churches and people who want a crispy, clean gospel. We want it clean, but the message of the Bible is a bloody message. You know, I don't understand. We want the Bible and the message of the gospel to be clean, but your life is a mess. Sometimes it takes a mess to clean up a mess. You know, things don't get clean just by wishing them away. I don't know if you've ever cleaned up your kid's puke or your kid's poop. It doesn't get clean just by thinking it away or wishing it away. You got to get your hands dirty. You got to get in there and get something clean. Come on, somebody. I would rather have a bloody message that cleans up my life and saves my soul. It might not be appealing to soothe your soul, but it is enough to save your soul. It is not my job to make everyone feel good. It is my job to tell you where and how to be made whole. And the where and the how is at the foot of the cross. It is by the blood of Jesus. That's where you've got to go. I believe that one of the good ways to get there is by the house of God. And I know that we are quarantined, but as soon as it's over, you better beat the door down. Run to your house of worship, wherever that might be, and get into the word of God, get into the people of God, and let God do a work in your life. Because here's the deal. What is life? Now, I could open up a can of worms right there. What is life? That mysterious something that science has never been able to fully define. According to the Bible, life is in the blood. It is something spiritual. When does life occur? When does life in. You know, if you ask Planned Parenthood, life doesn't begin until you're out of the womb and everything's okay. No, but it begins at conception. The Bible said, I knew you while you were still in your mother's womb. He said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, what about life? When does life end? What about eternal life? What about eternal death? Hell is a permanent separation from God. That's what hell is. It is a place of mental and emotional torment more than just physical. You know, I've heard stupid people say, well, I'm going to go to hell with the rest of my friends. No, 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 baby. It ain't going to be no party there. Sometimes we get focused on the lake of fire, but it's most often called the place of darkness. It is the loneliest place imaginable where you are left eternally alone with all of your bad emotions. My God, fear, anxiety, depression, failure, hate, jealousy, envy, broken heart, all those things you are left alone with, without God intervening. If you take the greatest day of insecurity and anxiety and multiply that by 1,000, you might have gone your first day in hell. Well, preacher, I feel like I'm in hell quarantine with these kids. That ain't hell, baby. I feel like I'm in hell quarantine with my spouse. That ain't hell, baby. That's heaven compared to hell. You don't have to do it. You don't have to go there. You can have eternal life, but it takes going to the cross. It takes going to getting where the blood of Jesus is and letting it being applied to your life. You see, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel of peace or the gospel of goodwill. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is Jesus that saves your soul. Now, point number three is this. Blood is the only liquid tissue. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, I about had myself a time. In the human body, there are many different types of tissue. There's fat. I've got plenty of that. Matter of fact, Krista told me that, Pastor, we had to go to the wide angle lens just to get you in it today. And so, there's fat tissue. I saw this today. Somebody said, during this quarantine, baby, did I get fat? And the husband said, you ain't ever been skinny. And the day of his death was when he said that. But anyway, so there is fat tissue. There is muscle tissue. There is gland, there is bone, etc. But there are many liquid substances in the human body, but only one liquid tissue, and that's the blood. That's the blood. Blood is both tissue and fluid. Let me learn you something. It's blood and tissue. It's fluid and tissue. It is a tissue because it is a collection of similar specialized cells that serve particular functions. These cells are suspended in a liquid matrix called plasma, which makes blood a fluid. Unlike other fixed tissue, blood literally moves to every part of your body with functionality. Every part of your body that the blood touches, it has a function and does something, whether it is bringing oxygen to or bringing nutrients to or taking toxins away. That is what our blood does. Why does blood need to be liquid again? Because it carries oxygen into the body. It carries carbon dioxide and other waste back to your lungs, back to your kidneys, back to your liver for disposal. Now keep this in mind, that the blood has to bring things to you and carry away things that are potentially dangerous to you. The blood is a transport system. If the blood can't bring what you need, you cannot support life. My God, I know where I'm going. If the blood cannot bring to you what you need, then you cannot sustain life. And if the blood cannot take things away from you that you don't need, you cannot sustain life. So wherever the blood does reach, or wherever the blood does not reach, it dies. So anything on your body that if the blood doesn't reach it, it dies, because it's doing something when it touches you. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood of Jesus, you need to let the blood touch every area of your life. The areas that need something, it brings it to you. And the areas that need to be taken away, it takes away. You've got to recognize that the blood of Jesus still flows today. When the body, my God, I hope I can get this out. I had myself a time on Friday when I was looking at this and researching this, and But I thought about, I love watching survival. Here's what I know. That when the body gets cold, when you're in freezing temperatures, that the first thing that gets frostbit are your extremities. The things that is furthest away from your heart. And so your heart keeps the blood around the vital organs so that you can stay alive. So can I tell you that sometimes, could it be possible that you have become cold in God, that the blood doesn't reach your extremities? Could it be that while your life is erect, why you are going through hell on your way to heaven? Because the blood is keeping the vital parts of your body, of your life, warm so that you can make it to heaven, but you're living through hell trying to get there. Pastor, what do I do? Get into where the fire of God is, and get that the blood of Jesus go out to every aspect of your life. Let the blood of Jesus go to those areas that you didn't want the blood to go, because it might change you something. It might cost you something. Let the blood of Jesus go there. Could it be possible? If it might be why you're not living your best life, or your life that the Bible says you could have, because you're just too far away from the fire and the rest of your body is getting cold. My God, I wished I had more people up in here to preach. Listen to me, church. The functionality, and point number four, the functionality of the blood. The blood energizes. The blood cleanses your body. When you eat, food is broken down by your body into its smallest chemical form. So when you're in the house, or right now while you're eating the Word of God, let your body, let your spiritual body break it down and take it to the parts that need to be taken to. Let it go to your marriage. Let it go to your finances. Let it go to the habits of your life. Let it go to your mouth. Woo! Let it go to your mouth and clean your mouth up, and tell your mouth to shut up, and tell your mouth to quit saying everything that comes to your mouth. Could you let it go to every part of your life so that it can break it down, and literally it pulls the molecules apart. This separation of these chemicals causes you to unite with new chemicals, which create metabolic reaction that we interpret as energy. Why do you think that maybe you're sluggish in God? It's because you ain't eating the right stuff, and your body is not doing what it needs to do to energize you for Jesus. My God, I wish I could preach up in here. But that just might be where you are. The blood also takes away impurities similar to emptying the ashes of a fireplace. When I was growing up, we had a wood-burning stove. And several times a week, I would have to empty out the ashes. I could have to empty out the ashes of yesterday. Woo! I would have to empty out the ashes of yesterday so that the new fire that I built could have air to breathe and oxygen to come to it. And maybe yet that stuff you've been hanging on to from yesterday that you've been carrying around in your baggage, why don't you let that go and have a funeral for your yesterday and a funeral for your baggage and just begin to say, God, today is a new day. Today is the first day of the rest of my life. Begin to say, in the name of Jesus, all things have been passed away. Behold, all have become new. Woo! Glory to God. You see, if your blood didn't take away these chemicals, you would die of toxicity. What's wrong with a lot of us right now physically is that we have eaten the wrong foods for so long without exercising or stretching that our bodies are so sluggish because the blood is not flowing like it should because of our own appetite and laziness. Ah, man, you want to get some energy in God. Start doing the things that God's called you. Start serving somewhere. Start doing something in the house of God. Start doing something, not just sitting on your hind quarters waiting on God to change everything in your life. Part number five. Whew. What time? All right, I got time. The spiritual overlay of our system. You and I are the body of Christ. And we are members, and many members, just like the human body. And we differ in our function, in our location, in our color, and even in our purpose. Just like the human body, that if we get cut off from the blood, we will die of a spiritual death. Well, Pastor, the church ain't that important. Yes, it is. That's why many of you are tuning in right now. The church is essential. Even the government. We finally got the government to say that the church is essential. Now, I don't know if that excites you, that when the world starts saying, yeah, the church is essential. I met a couple yesterday that I didn't know, and they found out I was a preacher, and they said, thank you for doing what you do. They said, you are essential. And I said, thank you very much. You are essential. The church is essential. Satan's strategy is to get you to fall out of the fold, is to separate you and isolate you from the blood. Wait a minute, Pastor, are we talking about Jesus? No, nothing can separate you from Jesus. But what happens is you get separated from the body and there's no blood, there's no flow that goes to you. Nobody challenges you. Nobody talks to you. Nobody keeps you accountable. Nobody. And there's no blood that flows to you. So eventually you will die. Because, you know, you can live outside of the blood for a little while. Just not much. Just not long. There's got to be reattached. If you have children, you've watched what happens when your child's umbilical cord, when you cut off the blood, it dries up and falls off because it's cut off from the blood supply. Listen to me, some of you that are watching from home, that you quit going to church for whatever reason. You think that you're okay, but you're about to fall off. You're just about to dry up because you need the body of Christ. You need your brothers and your sisters. Don't allow people to distract you or cut you off from the flow of blood. You need the nutrients, and you get toxic in your thinking without the blood. You use to see what God is doing, and now you're looking at what people are doing. Can I just tell you that you need to get reconnected? The blood energizes and cleanses the body of Christ. Just like the human body, our spiritual man is energized through the blood of Jesus. As we exercise our spiritual gifts, our body is energized and receives the proper nutrients. You know, listen, I was thinking the other day, because the way I preach, and you know, I don't sit at a table, nothing against those who can, but I don't sit at the table. And I begin to think, and I begin to ask God, Lord, I don't want people to think think that I'm just faking this thing? And he said, no, you plugged in, brother. He said, you plugged in, son. The blood, my blood is coming to you, and you are connecting with people, and you're talking to people, and the same anointing that is there when people are in the building is the same anointing that's there when I'm not in the building. He said, matter of fact, if you preach different when people are there than when people are not there, then you're preaching for the applause of man and not the applause of heaven. So I'm going to keep preaching the way I preach, because I preach for the applause of heaven. I want God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How can I be energized with just a few people? Because God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Woo! His blood carries away and discards our impurities. Only his blood can take the right things out and brings the right things to us. We don't know who or what to discard, but he does. Grace does. Stuff you thought you needed, you don't need to do what God's called you to do. In order to mature as a Christian, we have to allow the cleansing effect to continue all throughout our lifetime. Things that God used to let me get away with, I can't get away with anymore. Amen? Why? Because I just can't do that. I'm getting a little too closer. Right? When you're a baby, you get away with stuff you don't. When you get adolescence, you get away with stuff that you can't get away with as an adult. There are things that can make us spiritually sick if we do not rid them from our body. The blood has to reach every single cell in the body. Once the blood fails to reach the cells, the members of the body, they promptly die. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about how much your body does to keep you alive? I mean, your entire life. Think about this. From the moment your heart begins pumping, beating, until the moment it stops, the human heart is always at work. In an average lifetime, the heart beats more than 2.5 billion times without ever taking a pause. If it takes a pause, you're usually at the hospital. Like a pumping machine, the heart provides the power needed for life. It carries nutrients to the brain and the rest of your body to sustain life. The process happens without any thought, yet it, the human body, is so complex that man has no way of duplicating what the human heart does. With all the advancements of technology, we cannot create life. See, there's another absolute truth. You cannot create life. You can sustain life. You can prolong life momentarily, but you cannot produce life. You and I cannot produce salvation. We can only sustain it through the blood of Jesus. Help me, somebody. Now, point number 6, and I'm almost done. We are all products of God's grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would it be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. The worst thing that can happen to the body of Christ is for any member of the body of Christ to start out operating outside of its grace. Whew. Because it's the blood that makes us one. It's the blood that makes us holy. It's the blood that makes us pure. It's the blood that makes us redeemed. And when any one of us gets to the point that we think we are no longer needed, daily, a daily dose of the Word and the Holy Spirit guidance is put in a dangerous place. We must recognize that God uses the whole body of Christ, and what he began in you, he is able to keep it and to do it. See, talent, skill, passion must belong to God. Did you hear that? Talent, skill, and passion. Everything that I have belongs to God. Everything. Intercessors, missionaries, singers, teachers, all anointed. Each member, though, must be connected to the flow. Let me tell you something. If you are a preacher and you don't have a home church, don't talk to me. If you're a missionary and you ain't got a home church, don't talk to me. I need to know who you connected to. Who are you connected to? Because your value in God's kingdom operates in direct proportion to your grace. If the body of Christ, it is the blood of Jesus that makes us one, Acts 17:26. And he has made from one blood every nation of man to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. God wants us to reflect him. Whew. God created us, created blood one time. Well, I don't know if I got time to get into this. What time is it? I don't have time to get into this. But let me just say this. God created blood one time in Adam. And that's why we need to be born again. Because the blood was tainted. Everybody on the planet has come from Adam. Everybody on the planet. Come on back. Help me close. Everybody on the planet has come from Adam. And blood has been passed from generation to generation to generation. There is the same blood that flowed through Adam. Part of it is still now, part of its DNA is flowing through my life right now. The Spirit of God put something into Adam, the red clay that made him alive, and it's the same thing that makes you alive. The life is in the blood. Now, we did that song. I want you to go back to that last song we did. This is the air I breathe. We sang that song. But we have too many people who just have breath in their spiritual walks. And what I mean by that, they worship, they church, they keep the traditions of church or Christianity. But they don't live in Christ and for Christ. Because the blood is not or has not been applied to the rest of their life. See, church is not something I do on Sunday. Church is not something I just do on Wednesday night. I'm a part of the church. Pastor, you're the head. No, I'm a part of the church. But it's because I'm a part of the body of Christ. It's who I am. And I I'm desperate for you. Would you help me say it? I'm lost without you. I'm lost without him. Oh, and I'm desperate for you. Let me say this to you. It's not the cross that saved you. It's the blood of Jesus. It's not the cross, it's the blood. And what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, right there where you are. What are you doing, Pastor? I'm getting a microphone from my wife. I want her to help me sing. But right where you are, I want to ask you two things. First of all, if you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, he does not, I do not want you to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven, man. And I want you to live your best life going there. And your best life is covered by the blood of Jesus. So right where you are, if you want to get it right with God, maybe you've never accepted Christ, or maybe you've known him, but you haven't allowed his blood to cover every aspect. Would you make that decision right now? And Father, in the name of Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father, forgive me of my sin. Let your blood go to every area of my life and cause life to be there. I accept you as my Savior, and from this day forward, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, let me just tell you, as soon as you can, as soon as the church is open, man, get into the house of God. Start getting discipled. You need the body of Christ, and the body needs you.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.